This is the Eric John Phelps Show on 24/7 World Radio. And now, Eric John Phelps.
Welcome. And again, I say welcome to the broadcast today at 24/7 World Radio. It's Brother Eric John Phelps with you today, coming to live and direct from the wonderful, bustling metropolis of Newmanstown, Pennsylvania. With our one stoplight, seemingly insignificant on the face of the Lord's flat earth, which is a plane, of which King Solomon also believed it was a plane, as he wrote of it under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost in his works of Ecclesiastes as well as Proverbs. So coming to you today on this beautiful June 10th, 2022, this Friday. And I'm going to devote the next 2 hours to the attack of the government of Israel run by the Pope on the USS Liberty on June 8th, 1967. I will tell you why. I will tell you who did it, why they did it, and I'll tell you up front. The one responsible for the attack on the USS Liberty was the one responsible for the assassination of John F. Kennedy, was the one responsible for LBJ launching the Vietnam War after the bogus Gulf of Tonkin event. It was also an LBJ-aided event, as was the Liberty. I'll also tell you what a criminal Lyndon Baines Johnson was, and if you want to read about his criminal, wicked sexual life, you can read the book titled Texas in the Morning by his Roman Catholic concubine, Madeline Duncan Brown. So, the one responsible for the assassination of JFK, the one responsible for the Gulf of Tonkin event, the one responsible for introducing the 501c3 tax-exempt legislation was Lyndon Baines Johnson, as he was controlled by Francis Cardinal Spellman, who put him in office after Spellman oversaw the assassination of JFK. With his various Knights of Malta, high-level 33rd degree Freemasons, it's the same boys that killed Kennedy that attacked and nearly sunk the Liberty, which was intended to be sunk. Now, I have to disagree with my guest that I had on Wednesday, David Gahari. He's a very nice man. He's been very nice to me. He signed both books that I ordered from him, Erasing the Liberty, The Battle to Keep Alive the Memory of Israel's Massacre on the USS Liberty, as well as Holocaust on the High Seas, both written by a Roman Catholic named Philip F. Turney. And both Turney and Gahari blame Israel for this because they conclude Israel runs the United States, which is a major error. And it's, and any reader who is reading a multitude of books from a series of different perspectives can only conclude that that's simply not true, and that in fact the papacy and its Jesuit order, which is really outside of the papacy, it rules the papacy, it regards itself as a separate entity, and it is, that it was the Jesuit order who did it, and the Jesuit order who runs this country. I'll give you one fact to deal with that you must address. John Loftus is an Irish Roman Catholic who was trained by Jesuits at Boston College. He's been a notable author, written several very good books. One's called The Unholy Trinity, concerning the Vatican rat lines that the Vatican enabled the Nazis to escape Europe after World War II, bringing at least 20,000 here with Project Paperclip. And that was overseen by Francis Cardinal Spellman, because Cardinal Spellman was the one who oversaw Project Paperclip. And it first started out with what's called the Secret Treaty of Fort Hunt in 1945, They agreed to bring these top Nazis, including Reinhard Gehlen and also Heinrich Mueller, who was the head of the Gestapo, to bring him over here into the U.S. and put him in the intelligence communities and FBI and CIA and whatever. And so, just like the real murderers of the Jews, as well as the Protestants of Europe, because remember, the Second World War ended Lutheran Germany. But the one really behind it was Pope Pius XII. Pius XII was advised by his Jesuit Superior General up until he died in 1943, who was Vladimir Leduchowski, a Pole. And so Pius XII, if you can read about Pius XII's responsibility in the Eurasian Jewish Holocaust, as you read David Kirshner's work, The Popes Against the Jews, it's a classic work. You must read it. Its documentation is irrefutable. And so there, back to John Loftus, he was educated by Jesuits at Boston College. He wrote several interesting works. One of them was called The Secret War Against the Jews. It's a thick book. In that book, you will read that Reinhard Gehlen helped to found the Israeli Mossad in 1952. The Reinhard Gehlen was an agent of the CIA because he put together the intelligence community in Germany called the Gehlen Org out of Pulluck, Bavaria, Roman Catholic area, and a very powerful Jesuit oversaw it, who was the dear friend of Jesuit Edmund A. Wallace, the most powerful Jesuit in America at the time in the 1940s. His name was Karl Radner. Karl Radner was the Jesuit who oversaw Gehlen when he put together the Gehlen Org in Pulluck, Bavaria. So you have the Gehlen Org working with the CIA. CIA is going to be born in 1947 with the National Security Act, along with the NSA. And so this is the papacy creating its international intelligence community after World War II. Because as I show in my book, Vatican Assassins, the papacy controlled both the Allies and the Axis powers. It controlled the intelligence communities of both powers. So they could control the outcome of what they did, and if any general got in the way, they would kill them. Several generals that got in the way of what the Jesuits wanted to do through the intelligence communities during World War II were Andrei Vlasov. Andrei Vlasov was a great Russian general. And he decided, after he had been captured and betrayed by Stalin, he decided that he would help Hitler. What Vlasov did not know was that Hitler and Stalin had worked together, as I prove in my book. There's a book called Hitler's Traitor. And in that book, Hitler's Traitor shows that every decision of Hitler was known to Joseph Stalin within 48 hours after it was given through the Red Orchestra. And the man responsible for the communicating of that information was Martin Bormann. Martin Bormann, after the war, escaped Berlin. And he went down through the Brenner Pass into Italy and there escaped the continent disguised as a Jesuit wearing a Jesuit cassock. And this you can find in a book written by Nino Labello titled The Vatican Papers. The Vatican Papers. So the Jesuits were busy using their intelligence community, as well as certain high-level bishops and archbishops in the papacy. One of the bishops was Alois Hudal. Hudal oversaw the entire Vatican rat line operation of evacuating top Nazis and SS men out of Europe. They brought them over to the United States, and who did they meet when they finally came over? Well, it was none other than Archbishop of New York, Francis Spellman. He will be promoted to cardinal in 1949, as will the Patriarch of Moscow be promoted in 1949, who was Agagnian. Agagnian and Spellman knew each other. Agagnian oversaw the NKVD. Spellman oversaw the OSS. And together, both those groups worked for the destruction of what was once historic white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Germany, especially Prussia. 1946, Prussia ceases to exist. It is no longer a country. The end of the Second 30 Years' War from 1914 to 1945 accomplished the desecration and demolition of Protestantism in Europe and also the destruction of over one half of the Jews in Europe, because those that would survive would be then motivated to leave Europe and go and found Israel in 1948, which in the eyes of the papacy is called the revived Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem. Israel in the eyes of the Pope is nothing more than the revived Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem, which the Knights Templars have always wanted since their suppression in 1312. I don't want to overwhelm you, but I just want to give you some high points, okay? You know, you guys are driving truck and working hard and don't have time to read books. All you have time to do is listen to radio, and I'll try to make it simple and to the point, even though I have to protect myself by giving many facts that I can prove from my books in my library. So, as I start out to tell you, Francis Cardinal Spellman was the one responsible for the attack on the Liberty. The government of Israel was an agency of the Pope, overseen by the government of the United States, which is this military government established on March 9, 1933 by Franklin Damnable Roosevelt, a 32nd degree Scottish Rite Freemason, as he was overseen by Jesuit Knight of Malta Edmund A. Walsh from Georgetown University. Walsh oversaw FDR. Walsh would later oversee Truman. He would also later oversee Eisenhower. And so, and Spellman would put all three of those presidents in office because he was called the American Pope. The book you want to get on this is titled The American Pope by John Cooney, C-O-O-N-E-Y, written in 1988. The book is fantastic in all the political, religious, academic, business connections of the American Pope, Francis Cardinal Spellman. The Vietnam War was called Spelly's War. Spellman had access to the CIA Daily Brief. Spellman ran the White House until Kennedy came to power. Among other things Kennedy wanted to do, attack the Federal Reserve by putting in nearly $5 billion worth of United States notes into circulation against the Pope's Federal Reserve notes, which we pay interest to use, you know. Not only that reason, but Kennedy's purpose to destroy the CIA and break it into 1,000 pieces because of the Bay of Pigs, deliberate Bay of Pigs loss, which air cover was canceled by McGeorge Bundy. He was a high advisor to JFK. McGeorge Bundy canceled the air cover that was planned upon so that there could be a successful overthrow of the Jesuit trained for 7 years, Fidel Castro, who is the father of Justin Castro, following in his father's steps by now, attempting to ban and outlaw the guns in Canada. Because remember, any government that wants to ban guns is Jesuitical, and that government intends to kill you if they ban your guns. Going on, both Hitler and Stalin both banned the guns of both their countries, just what the Jesuits want. So, Spellman had all this power. When Kennedy comes to power, he's going to stop Spelly's war. He promises to get all the troops out of Vietnam by 1965, according to Fletcher Prouty, L. Fletcher Prouty, in his great work, JFK. He also wrote another epic work titled The Secret Team, and he defines how the CIA runs the United States. And it's not Jewish, because there's a Jew room in NSA that does not allow any Jew into that room at NSA headquarters. It's called the Jew Room, according, as I said, to John Loftus in his work, The Secret War Against the Jews. All of this can be proven. It is undeniable. Anybody who denies it's a liar or stupid or a Jesuit coadjutor. You have to decide. So Kennedy did that. Kennedy wanted to Kennedy did not want to give nuclear weapons to Israel, to the government of Israel, the GOI. Government of Israel is not the people living in Israel. You must always separate that government from those people living there. That government persecutes them, gives up their land to their Arab enemies, justifies more conflict, kills their sons in war. The military government of Israel is run by the Pope to the detriment of the Jews living in that country. And one of my tutors on that matter was the late and great Barry Chamish, who exposed much of this. And he had to leave Israel with several attempted assassinations on his life and died in Florida several years ago. I was with him at my second conspiracy com out in Santa Clara, 2008, thereabouts. So the government of Israel was overseen by the papacy, and the reason why Israel is brought into the United Nations shortly after they declared their independence in 1948 is because of the influence of Francis Cardinal Spellman to get enough votes to bring Israel into the UN. The nation that made the difference was Paraguay. And it was Francis Cardinal Spellman, with his Jesuits overseeing him and aiding him, that influenced the man running the government of Paraguay, that had been founded by Jesuits, by the way, to vote for allowing the government of Israel to be in the United Nations. Spellman oversaw the government of Israel, and one of his right-hand men that did that was none other than James Jesus Angleton. But Eric John Phillips, back in a moment, 24/7 World Radio, letting her rip and letting you know what really happened to the Liberty.
This is the Eric John Phillips Show on 24/7 World Radio.
This is Brother Jack. I invite you to listen to my broadcast on 247worldradio.com. I preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Polish-speaking people scattered around the whole world. Furthermore, I defend the Reformation in Poland, Polish Protestants and Baptists, and Polish Reformation Bible. I also expose the Counter-Reformation in my homeland, led by the Jesuits and by the Roman Catholic Institution. Join me every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 247worldradio.com. Tu brat Jacek, zapraszam Was do wysłuchania mojej audycji na 247worldradio.com. Głoszę Ewangelię Pana Jezusa Chrystusa ludziom mówiącym po polsku rozproszonym po całym świecie. Ponadto bronię reformacji w Polsce, polskich protestantów i baptystów oraz polskiej Biblii Reformacyjnej. Demaskuję również kontrreformację w mojej ojczyźnie kierowaną przez jezuitów i przez rzymskokatolicką instytucję. Dołącz do mnie w każdy czwartek o godzinie 17 czasu wschodnioamerykańskiego na 247worldradio.com.
This is Brother Nicholas. Join me every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the German Bible Truth Hour, and at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Dutch Bible Truth Hour on 24/7 World Radio. This is Bruder Nicolas. Ich lade euch herzlich ein, mich anzuhören jeder Dienstag um 2 Uhr nachmittags, amerikanische Zeit, für die deutsche Bibelwahrheitsstunde und 3 Uhr amerikanische Standardzeit für die niederländische Bibelwahrheitsstunde am World Radio 24/7. Dit is Bruder Nico. U bent hartelijk uitgenodigd om elke dinsdag om 2 uur Amerikaanse standaardtijd het Duitse Bijbelwaarheidsuur te volgen en 3 uur Amerikaanse standaardtijd het Nederlandse Bijbelwaarheidsuur te volgen op 24/7 World Radio.
This is 24/7 World Radio, and you're listening to The Eric John Phillips Show.
And we're going to continue on with my follow-up of my interview I had with David Gahary on Wednesday for 2 hours. So, where did I leave off? left off with Kennedy. Some of the things Kennedy did that enraged Spellman. Spellman was a notable homosexual and pedophile. And the one who investigated him, who was a New York police detective, was, oh, what's his name? Escapes me right now. I'll think of it. Anyway, he said that Spellman was the most corrupt individual he ever investigated. Jim, what's his name? It'll come to me. And so, Francis Cardinal Spellman was a notorious homosexual, a notoriously evil, wicked man. And so, he's morally evil, he's wicked, he knows he's above the law. Remember, no American prince of the church, that's what a cardinal is called. A cardinal is called a prince of the church. Remember, the papacy is nothing more than the Roman Empire in religious garb, pretending to be Christian when in fact it is Babylonian. You must read the book, The Two Babylons, by a tremendous work. Ooh, what was that? He was a minister of the gospel. It's called The Two Babylons. And in that book, he tells you that Rome is modern-day Babylon. And the religion is Babylonian. It's idolatry. And the princes of the church today, the cardinals, are nothing more than Roman senators. The Pope is nothing more than the Caesar, claiming the right to rule all nations of the world. Alexander Hislop was the author of The Two Babylons. You must have that for your book. You must your library. Read it carefully. The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. Never successfully refuted. Attacked, but never refuted. So, Spellman was the American Pope. He was the prince of the church. He was the all-powerful churchman in this country, which at the time, I believe, there was 10 cardinals in the country. Spellman was the most powerful. Spellman oversaw the CIA. Spellman oversaw the FBI because he and brother homosexual sodomite J. Edgar Hoover, a 33rd degree Freemason, were dear bosom buddy friends. You know who else Hoover was friends with? He was friends with LBJ, another brother Freemason, admitted into the Masonic Lodge, Scottish Rite Lodge of Johnson City, Texas, in 1936. LBJ also went to Georgetown University for 1 year, so he had the Jesuit blessing on his life. And hence, LBJ is put into office by Cardinal Spellman because Cardinal Spellman oversaw the assassination of JFK because JFK was a disobedient son of the church. Spellman and his Jesuits had such economic power that the Jesuits controlled 51% of the Bank of America. There's a book you need to read called The Vatican Billions by Avril Manhattan. Also written in 1988, in that it will tell you of the power of the papacy and the Jesuits over the major corporations of America. You can also read that the papacy purchased all the major corporations on the stock market after the crash in 1929, when they used $100 million that they had gotten from Benito Mussolini and the Italian people for supposed reparations for the Pope having lost his temporal power from 1870 to 1929. They took that money, purchased all the American major corporations. By the time the stock market comes back, the Jesuits and the Vatican entirely control the stock market. All of it. All your major corporations. That's why there is no free enterprise in America anymore. It's all monopoly capitalism, as opposed to true biblical laissez-faire capitalism, when the businessmen compete with one another to make a better product for a cheaper price. So, Spellman is the king of America in 1963. 64, he puts LBJ in office. LBJ is going to reverse the policy of JFK in continuing or building up the Vietnam War. That is evident in the movie JFK, Director's Cut. And it's really based upon Jim Garrison's On the Trail of the Assassins and Jim Mars's work, Crossfire. You must have those works. So, yes, conspiracy, absolutely. See, the Jesuits and the CIA want to brainwash us from concluding there was a conspiracy. So they constantly have their press and academia mock those of us who believe in a conspiracy, saying we're nothing but conspiracy theorists. This whole PSYOP began with the CIA in 1947, as it was created then, and started to launch the PSYOP of attacking those such as myself and other true researchers as conspiracy theorists. It would even attack the great Anthony Sutton, who wrote The Best Enemies Money Can Buy, concerning the U.S. military government here in America building up the Soviet government during the Cold War. He would also write another book titled Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, showing that Wall Street had financed and backed the revolution in Moscow in 1917. There's another book you want to get called Descent into Darkness by James Zatko. James J. Zatko, he was a teacher at Notre Dame, and he wrote this book in 1965. And he shows in that book that the Jesuits were readmitted into Russia after the Bolshevik Revolution. They were readmitted by Lenin and Stalin. The Jesuits had been suppressed out of Russia since 1920 by the great and good Alexander the First, Tsar Alexander the First. He kicked them out in 1820. In 1822, 1823, thereabouts, he shut down every Masonic lodge in Russia. Any Russian that's listening to this broadcast, you need to get a picture of Alexander the First and hang it up in your home. Alexander the First allowed the free circulation of the Bible in his country. And then with the Jesuit plot to overthrow him and the government that he had, he banned them. And so they fled to Georgia. And in Georgia, that's where they will prepare their Joseph Stalin to then ultimately be the one that they would use to overthrow the Tsar, even though the Tsar would participate in it. You must get the book, The File on the Tsar, where Nicholas II was never killed, and he participates in the overthrow of the Tsar, and what will be the Okhrana will now be changed into the Cheka. And the first head of the Cheka was Felix Dzerzhinsky, who was trained by Jesuits. He was Polish, Roman Catholic. And this is the heart of the vicious Jesuit Inquisition against the Russian people, led by Dzerzhinsky and others, aided by certain Masonic Jews, so that the Bolshevik Revolution and the murder of the Cheka would appear to be Jewish, when in fact it was Jesuit using certain court Jews out of New York to do the dirty work. So the Jesuits run Russia, communist Russia. The Jesuits are the masters of communism. The Jesuits perfected communism on their Paraguayan reductions for 150 years. From 1609 to 1759, they ruled South America. They had 59 reductions, or kibbutzes, or communes, whatever you like to call them, where the native Guarani Indians were there making clocks and tanning hides and harvesting the great Paraguayan herb called yerba mate that the Jesuits put in international trade and made a fortune. The Jesuits had their own ship of fleets called the Black Ships. And on these Black Ships, they would fly their flag of skull and bones. You can see a Black Ship in the old movie titled Shogun. It's a long one, but they have a Jesuit Black Ship there, and the bishop in charge is a Jesuit, making him appear to be good, but he's not in that movie. So the Jesuits run Russia since no later than 1924. Jesuit Edmund Walsh came over from America, and he oversees the establishment of the trust of the government in Russia. By 1924, everything's in place. He goes back to the United States, and he is America's most influential and powerful Jesuit. He puts the communist power in place in Russia, and that will begin. They will begin their inquisition against the Russian people. And you can read about this in many works. You can read about it in Solzhenitsyn's work, The Gulag Archipelago, on the various tortures they perfected. And an American Jesuit priest named Walter Sizek was brought over to Russia. He was a Polish tough guy, American Polish tough guy. And he was in the Jesuit order. They bring him over there, and he will work in the Inquisitional camps for some 23 years until he's brought back by JFK in a spy trade. And he comes over near here to Warnersville Jesuit novitiate after he's released. And he's buried here in a crypt in that novitiate, now a spiritual center, quote unquote. So the Jesuits also then authored Mein Kampf, My Struggle, allegedly written by Adolf Hitler. Hitler was not capable of writing that book. I've read every page of it. There's no way he could have written that. The various vast knowledge of different nations and their history and their cultures and their political movements and their wars, no one man could have written that book, and especially that sot Adolf Hitler out of Vienna, Austria, who only read newspapers. So the Jesuits wrote Mein Kampf and then attributed it to Hitler. The man who wrote it was Jerome Stempel, according to Edmund Paris in his work, The Secret History of the Jesuits, written in 1965. So, and then Jerome Stempel, to get rid of the evidence, the SS puts two bullets in his head. So the Jesuits will sacrifice their own if necessary because they are a military war machine. It is the military company of the Society of Jesus. It's all about war, all about military. The Jesuits are soldiers commanded by superiors. Those superiors are commanded by other superiors. The provincials commanded by the assistants commanded by the general himself, who today is Arturo Sosa, just outside of Vatican walls in Borgo Santo Spirito number 5. That's their headquarters, as they're protected by the Knights of the Equestrian Order with the highest military weapons possible to protect that headquarters. So, Kennedy was removed because his policies were against the policies of the papacy by the American Pope here. And Spellman was overseen by the Jesuits of Fordham in their New York province. There are now 4 provinces in America. Then there were 10. Over here, the novitiate in Warnersville, there was a special room for Francis Cardinal Spellman called Room Number 3. I've been over there many times, documented it. I was finally kicked out for the final time when I went in there, a year ago. Haven't been back since. But that's okay. Spellman was the one responsible for the assassination of Kennedy and the Vietnam War, the Gulf of Tonkin event, all carried out by LBJ, and he was responsible for the attack on the USS Liberty by the government of Israel that he helped have acknowledged to be entered into the UN in 1945 or 1948, right around that time, 48, 49. This is Spellman. Now, the other thing I want to mention to you is that when Israel declares its independence in 1948, 33rd degree Scottish Rite Freemason called Whorehouse Harry, that used to have a whorehouse in Independence, Missouri, he is the one who acknowledges Israel in 11 minutes on orders from Francis Cardinal Spellman, because he served Spellman. Remember, they killed FDR because FDR didn't want to go along with the decimation of Japan and the airborne nuclear war hoax, which I'll touch on in a second. So, Francis Cardinal Spellman made sure that the government of Israel was recognized in 1948 by 33rd degree Freemason Scottish Rite, Dirty Harry Truman, by high-level Freemason Winston Churchill, and then by high-level Freemason Joseph Stalin. You can read that all three of these criminals were high-level Freemasons at Yalta, in a book titled The Deadly Deception by Jim Shaw, who was a 33rd degree Freemason. He later was saved, came to know the Lord. Tells you that when he was inducted into the 33rd degree Scottish Rite in Washington, D.C., there was a very powerful and internationally known evangelist there, and that was Billy Graham. Graham knew all about it. Graham was kowtowed to Spellman. Spellman made him great. Spellman made him popular because the one behind Billy Graham was none other than the head of the press at the time, who was Knight of Malta, Henry R. Luce, Henry Robinson Luce, whose wife, Claire Booth Luce, also a CIA operative, was named ambassador to Italy under Eisenhower, I believe. And so, that's how Israel came into existence. So do you think Russia was really against the government of Israel? No. Do you think the American government was against the government of Israel? Of course not. The American government, the military government of the United States, as founded by FDR March 9, 1933, with Proclamation 2040, was absolutely on the side of the government of Israel, but not the people of Israel. It's the people that have a right to the land. It's the government there, that tyrannical government overseen by the Pope's CIA, that rules those people. We always must separate the government of Israel from the people. The people have a right to the land, according to Genesis 15. There's no such thing as Palestinians. That group doesn't exist. They're Muslims or Christian Arabs living in the land. And by the way, the Arabs living in Israel have the highest standard of living in any other country. What are they belly aching about? If they don't like it, they can move to the other, 21 Arab countries that surround Israel and live happily ever after. But those are all junk holes. Israel, the Jews of Israel have built a beautiful nation, which the Arabs could never have done. But the Vatican, making sure this Arab-Israeli conflict continues, doesn't allow any peace there. So they'll incite Arabs and they'll incite Jews to continue the agitation, when all that needs to be done is all the Arabs can be moved out, just like Rabbi Meir Kahane said, give each one of them $5,000, I think, and move them out to surrounding Arab nations. That would end the crisis, but you see, the papacy doesn't want the end of the Arab-Israeli conflict, because the one who's to solve it in the future is none other than the Pope when he begins the 70th week of Daniel. Back in a moment, 24/7, World Radio.
This is the Eric John Phelps Show on 24/7 World Radio.
This is Brother Jack. I invite you to listen to my broadcast on 247worldradio.com. I preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Polish-speaking people scattered around the whole world. Furthermore, I defend the Reformation in Poland, Polish Protestants and Baptists, and Polish Reformation Bible. I also expose the Counter-Reformation in my homeland, led by the Jesuits and by the Roman Catholic Institution. Join me every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 247worldradio.com. Tu brat Jacek, zapraszam Was do wysłuchania mojej audycji na 247worldradio.com. Głoszę Ewangelię Pana Jezusa Chrystusa ludziom mówiącym po polsku rozproszonym po całym świecie. Ponadto bronię reformacji w Polsce, polskich protestantów i baptystów oraz polskiej Biblii reformacyjnej. Demaskuję również kontrreformację w mojej ojczyźnie kierowaną przez jezuitów i przez rzymskokatolicką instytucję. Dołącz do mnie w każdy czwartek o godzinie 17 czasu wschodnioamerykańskiego na 247worldradio.com.
This is 24/7 World Radio, and you're listening to The Eric John Phelps Show.
Eric John Phelps back with the broadcast, continuing on here now. And there's another topic I want to touch on for a little bit that relates to this incident of the USS Liberty. The first topic is, there's no such thing, I repeat, there is no such thing as airborne nuclear war. That's a lie. The military government of the United States used their Roman Catholic pilot, Paul Tibbets, on his Enola Gay, named after his mother, to drop Little Boy, which was a magnesium flash bomb laced with a uranium slug. So that when that magnesium flash bomb detonated, uranium would be driven all over the air, making it look like it was an atomic detonation. Remember, up to this time, no atomic bomb had ever been tested by dropping it from an aircraft and detonating it. Do you think the Jesuits would, in their tremendous abilities of war, because they brought the art of war by Sun Tzu back from China, translated into Europe, and that's what they follow, among other things, along with Machiavelli's The Prince. Do you think that they would actually use a weapon in a war that they hadn't tested first? When my book was first released in 2001, I was told by Rick Martin, who knew the husband of Kathy O'Brien, Mark Phillips. Mark Phillips knew a Jesuit on Malta. The Jesuits run Malta, which also has to do with USS Liberty. Headquarters of the Knights of Malta is on the island of Malta. John Roberts goes and is inducted into the Knights of Malta after his 5-4 decision when he betrayed the conservatives in this country. He goes right to Malta, is inducted in the Knights of Malta. That's right. The head of the Supreme Court, John Roberts, is a Knight of Malta, loyal to the Pope first and foremost. And so what happened was, with the dropping of these bombs, gave the illusion that they were nuclear airbursts. Remember when I was in missile school, we were taught they were burst 1,800 feet above the ground. It's not the case. When I was in the Air Force, I was stationed at Spangdahlem Air Force Base for 3.5 years. I worked in a nuclear weapons area for that time. The missile shop, which I was in, and the nuclear nuke guys were next door to us. They had the bathroom. We had to use outhouses. I remember that. That we would have to simulate a nuclear attack. We have to load up the Air Force would be loaded up. And they would call it elephant walk down the runways in Spangdahlem. But they never took off. It's always ready to go bomb Russia with devices that were allegedly nuclear bombs that could never detonate in motion when they're dropped. The books you want to read on this, the first one, probably the best one, is titled Harmonic 33 by Bruce Cathy, C-A-T-H-I-E. Bruce Cathy, he was an Air Force officer in New Zealand. And he goes into great detail to show that these devices can only be detonated when they're not moving, when they're also in the right relationship to the sun. In the right harmonic relationship to the sun. The name of the book, once again, Harmonic 33. The other book he wrote was called Harmonic 495. Further proving that all the nuclear tests in the 60s and thereabouts in the 70s were all detonations to see when the windows of opportunity could be used to detonate these devices. That's why they had fizzers, and that's why they had some who detonated. And no atomic device has ever detonated at night. Early dawn, yes, but it's in the right harmonic relationship to the sun. There's no such thing as airborne nuclear war, and a novel was written on this titled The Jesus Factor by Edwin Corley. And this was written in, 1970, The Jesus Factor. And it says the atom bomb doesn't work. And there's lots of good inferences there to come to that conclusion. But you read Cathy's work in this. The final analysis has never, ever been a nuclear exchange, or never will be. Any nuclear devices that are detonated will be on ground, and they will be in the right harmonic relationship to the sun. That is a fact. But the Jesuits and their control press have sought to put fear and terror in us by believing that we're going to be in a mutually assured destruction, mad, and we're going to set up SAC, headed by that filthy swine, 33rd degree Freemason, Curtis LeMay, who was the leading general at the JFK autopsy when one of the doctors said, and who's in charge here? And it was Curtis LeMay who said, I am. Although the JFK movie doesn't tell you it's Curtis LeMay, I have another source for that. Because LeMay hated Kennedy and regarded him as a communist because he wanted to end the Cold War, which was bogus. If the airborne nuclear war idea is bogus, then so is the Cold War. The Cold War is premised upon the foundation that there is, in fact, the ability to have airborne nuclear war. And they built all these subs, call them boomers, with all these nuclear missiles, all bogus. There's no such thing as an airborne nuclear war. Not happening. And furthermore, the beryllium triggers are so sensitive that they can't take those Gs and still be in place. And the man who was in charge of all the beryllium in this country would have to be a Jesuit. It was Michael Delisle Lyons. Anyway, I just want to encourage you. There are on-ground nuclear detonations like the World Trade Center in both buildings. There are on-ground nuclear detonations like Beirut just a few years ago. They've used many small suitcase nukes on-ground detonations, but they were in the right harmonic relationship to the sun, and they were detonated on-ground. There's no such thing as an airburst. I challenge anybody to prove it. I studied it for 6 months in every library I could find. So there's no such thing as airborne nuclear war. But the press that would promote this lie, in deceiving us to give up our national sovereignty bit by bit, was Henry Robinson Luce, a Knight of Malta, the controller of Time Life. He was the Pope's press lord. He was Francis Cardinal Spellman's press lord. And you can read this in a book titled Luce and His Empire. Luce and His Empire. And there's a picture of Luce with Spellman, with his wife, Claire Booth Luce, with Dean Rusk. Dean Rusk was part of this. He's also part of the Liberty Annihilation. And the man that's giving the honor there at the Waldorf Astoria Al Smith dinner is none other than Francis Cardinal Spellman, standing up and taking a bow with Henry Robinson Luce. Henry Robinson Luce will also purchase a Zapruder film from that Jewish Freemason out of Dallas, who is a CIA operative, and told to photograph or take a video of it, for lack of a better word, of the entire assassination. But he's told to hold his camera high, so that the bottom of the film will just be about in the middle of the limousine, because the storm drain shooter is going to be popping up and shooting Kennedy in the head simultaneously with the driver, William Greer, when he had an explosive round, as proven by the great and good William Cooper in his book, Behold a Pale Horse. He had the Japanese analyze the True Zapruder film that he got from Lear, and they said he was shot by the driver. And I say in conjunction with the driver and the storm drain shooter, in conjunction with Secret Service agent Hickey, who shot Kennedy in the back with a round from an M16, shot also in the neck from the overpass in Dallas. Kennedy was shot 5 times. And the whole magic bullet theory is a tremendous, awful lie promoted by the Masonic Jew, another one of the post-Masonic Jewish Zionists and perpetual senator of Pennsylvania to the disgrace of my adopted state, Arlen Specter, who I call Arlen Sphincter. Yeah. So, you have this horrible Kennedy assassination taking place, and the power to cover it up is greater than the power to carry it out. And certain Knights of Malta involved in that assassination were, in the cover-up as well as the assassination, Cartha Deakey Deloach. Cartha Deloach was a Roman Catholic Knight of Malta who was third in command of the FBI. First you had sodomite Hoover, then his sodomite partner, Clyde Tolson, and then after him was Cartha Deakey Deloach, who I maintain was the real head of the FBI. He was the one in charge of Division 5 of the FBI that made sure all the primary strikes were covered up, all the evidence was taken, the 45 round found on the other side of the curb there and assassinations, Lair, in that area where Kennedy was shot, all pocketed, never turns up in the Warren Commission. So it was a mighty cover-up. FBI involved in it to the hilt, overseen by J. Edgar Hoover, the bosom friend of Lyndon Bastard Johnson, Lyndon Baines Johnson. High-level Freemason, some sources say he's a Knight of Malta. I can't prove that. But one thing's for sure, he was the absolute crony and call boy of Francis Cardinal Spellman to do exactly what he was told. And that's one reason how he was so arrogant, because he knew he was untouchable if he was in the good graces of Francis Cardinal Spellman. Okay? You have MacArthur Deakey Deloach. You have William F. Buckley. William F. Buckley was an item of Malta. He's famous for his program, Firing Line. He's an Irish Catholic. He's also was a member of Yale's Skull and Bones. Now you have the connection of Skull and Bones with the Knights of Malta through William F. Buckley. William F. Buckley was a pretended conservative. He was, in fact, a fascist. And the purpose of what he was doing was to ultimately bring a new right to power way back then, as the Birch Society intended to do. And much of what the John Birch Society has written and published is absolutely true. You get their work, The Politician, showing how terrible and wicked and sinister Eisenhower was. And they had other works, like None Dare Call It Treason by John Stormer, and None Dare Call It Conspiracy by Gary Allen, who, by the way, makes it look like the Jesuit generals on the side of liberty and the Birch Society resisting the communists. So they're all working together, all connected by secret societies, overseen by the Pope of Rome, as he is overseen by the Jesuit Superior General. That is the network that runs this country. It is the control network of Satan, because Satan is the god of this world, and he runs it through his high powers, principalities, powers, authorities, and dominions, according to Ephesians 6, and they oversee these men in unison as they work together to facilitate the devil's mystery of iniquity, to bring the final pope to power with universal political power, then to kill him in the middle of the seven-year period known as the 70th week of Daniel. He then to come back to life and will be reign over the world for 42 months as the beast of Revelation 13, the Antichrist of 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. That's the game. That's the end of the mystery of iniquity. And the Jesuits are the foremost leaders in bringing this mystery of iniquity to a pass, because the Jesuits rule the papacy and they do not consider themselves part of it. It's just their little whore to bring their ultimate Pope of Rome that they control to world power. That's their game. That's Satan's mystery of iniquity. So going back to the Kennedy assassination, you have MacArthur Deakey Deloach. You have William F. Buckley. You have Lee Iacocca. I name all these guys in my book, Vatican Assassins. Lee Iacocca was the one responsible for making sure the limousine was taken back to Cranston Kurtz in Cincinnati, Ohio, to eliminate all the primary strikes, all the evidence of multiple shooters, and there were at least four or more. That's Lee Iacocca. He's the head of Ford Motor Company at this time. You get the book, Ford, The Men and the Machines, and it will tell you of Iacocca's relationship to Spellman. Going on, you have the head of the CIA, John McCone, who's involved in it. John McCone was a Knight of Malta. You have the head of counterintelligence, James Jesus Angleton, who is a key player in the Liberty attack. James Jesus Angleton was a Knight of Malta. He was not Skull and Bones, as the movie with Matt Damon in shows, and it's called The Good Shepherd. He was not Skull and Bones. He was a Knight of Malta. James Jesus Angleton had a right-hand man that he had working with him since he was in the OSS in Italy. The name of that Italian Roman Catholic punk was Raymond Rocca. And you will only find one picture of that man anywhere on the net. Raymond Rocca participated in the Kennedy assassination, and he and James Jesus Angleton, subject to Spellman, oversaw all the entire CIA operation in 1963. More about James Jesus Angleton. I hope this isn't too much off the cuff for you. I haven't read any of my notes yet. What happens is that James Jesus Angleton is the head of the Israeli desk. He's the CIA connection to Mossad. Remember, Mossad is another criminal organization set up by the CIA after they eliminated the Irgun. The Irgun were truly national patriots, Jews who wanted to have a free country. And they blew up the King David Hotel, and rightfully so, because the British were keeping arms from the Jewish people so they could defend themselves from the savage Arabs. The British were sinking Jewish ships, ships loaded with Jews coming out of Europe, so they couldn't come to their promised land. That's what the British were doing, because the British were run by the Jesuits. And so I'd have helped blow up the King David Hotel. Of course I would have. This is our country, and you Brits, because you're working against us, you got to get out. And furthermore, the British were involved in keeping the Jews from leaving Europe to come to Great Britain. Only 10,000 Jewish children were allowed to come into England at the time of the war. All the others were locked down. They locked down Europe, and none of the Jews could escape. And we can thank Winston Churchill for that, that dirty, filthy swine. Brother Eric John Phelps, back in a moment. 24/7 World Radio on the sinking of the USS Liberty and giving the prelude to that